As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
BSBOT, some number, Greg and I, recording after a solemn New York Rangers preseason game that doesn't count whatsoever. Losing 4-0 to the Islanders at home at MSG, just... Greg, it was a classic Ranger game, wasn't it? It was, you know, when, you know, you like, it's like, what's it called? Now that's what I call music. Like, now that's what I call Rangers. Like, everything, every Ranger trope came true in, like, the first 6 minutes.
Dude, we were so excited to finally have a hockey game to break down after months. We've been doing BSBOTs. We did the 94 rewatch.
Yeah,
did Mike Keenan. We did Pokemon. Mm-hmm. We did
Harry Potter.
Yep. We did Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
We did New Year's resolutions.
We've done good hangs.
We've done such dumb things over the last 9 months because we've been doing two episodes a week nonstop for 9 months with three hockey games.
Three hockey games.
It was easier doing that than trying to come out. Like, I don't want to. I really don't want to be negative, guys. I don't.
No,
I am going to get some jokes off. Because boy, mighty, did we get some nice jokes.
Oh,
but, how about this, Ryan? How about this?
Okay, hit me.
Hear me out.
I'll hear you.
First 5 minutes, because it's probably all we're going to be able to get out of this.
All right.
Let's do positives.
Okay.
First 5 minutes.
This is good. I like this. Can we get to five? All right.
I'll start.
Okay, you go first.
Adam Fox is legit, dude.
Adam Fox
is legit.
Outside of the time that Matt Barzal just pickpocketed him and almost scored.
Ryan, nope. I'm trying to be positive for the first 5 minutes, and then you say the name Barzal, and you're just going to make me mad.
You're right. I'm sorry. Okay.
First 5 minutes. Adam Fox. Those first two periods. The third period, it seemed like both teams were just going through the motions, right?
Yeah, so it's like this was over.
There's not a whole lot to even talk about
there. Yeah, team didn't fight.
First two periods. Adam Fox is legit, dude.
Okay.
It's so nice to see.
All right. That's good. I think that was good. I thought Mika tried really hard the first, like, two periods, and then everyone kind of just fell into place. I thought he was one of the only... One of the things I didn't like about Mika's game, which it's very hard to pick, is that his defensive prowess was lacking last year, and I felt in the first game he showed improvement in that. Positive.
I agree. He played well in the defensive zone.
He did. He was very active.
Being positive, again.
Mm-hmm. Positives only.
The Rangers were putting him in difficult situations, but it seemed like Mika Zibanejad, defensively, was stepping up to the plate, which is... even more encouraging to see, considering he had no camp.
Right.
He was out sick the entire time.
I'll say another nice thing. Mika Zibanejad's hair looks amazing.
Oh, flowing.
Just unbelievable. A truly model-esque. I don't know how he straightens it that well.
Another positive for Greggy.
Okay.
Alexi Lafreniere looked like he belongs.
He doesn't look nervous.
No. He looks like he's been in the league for 5 years.
Yeah, he looked like a vet, which sounds stupid to say after one game, but he looked good. He really did. It's not like he shined or anything. Doesn't look like he didn't make any glaring mistakes. Yeah, he had the penalty,
and
it's
going to be hard to shine in a game where you get the
shellacked
doors blown off.
Yeah, shellacked.
I think the last positive I can squeak out of this, Ryan, and then I'll let you try and give me one or two. Encouraged by Phil Hedel, I don't see anything wrong with his game today. Mm-hmm. Again, it's hard to say anyone shined, but if I'm trying just to find the guys that didn't stink out loud, I thought everyone on that Lafreniere, Hedl, Gauthier line was great. I really do. Well, great in respect to the overall team performance.
If
you had to pick one line that you thought was good across the board, just good, like passing grades, B-minus students, I think you give it to Lafreniere, Hedl, and Gauthier.
I'd agree. And Gauthier made one good play where he like drew a penalty and got up past an Islander and did a spin move or whatever, did an over-the-shoulder move to win out a puck battle, which was nice. It was good to see that out of him.
He drew the penalty, and then he didn't help create it, but he almost finished that goal that – not the goal that wasn't a goal where everyone owes me stickers.
So stupid.
The first one. Everyone owes me stickers, right?
Yeah.
Unless we want to give it to Trouba. I think Trouba might have gotten credit.
You did say Rooney would score the first – if Rooney scored the first goal, everybody would have to send you stickers. Just the rules. It's the facts. Do not give your address out. Fuck, I have to edit that. Okay, I'll put a beep there. That's really annoying.
I'm owed stickers. Come on.
All right, I'm not going to keep that in there because that is not a good idea. Anyway, anywho.
Yeah, me for my address.
So, negatives. Let's go there. Because I think we just found the rest of the podcast.
We need to reframe. I don't want to call them negatives because then people will yell at us.
Can I do a mini rant before we even get to this?
Please.
I'm not panicking. I'm really not. I know it's one game. They got their doors.
And we talked about how the first 2 weeks of the season were going to be a gong show.
They got their doors blown off, dude. And no one wants to hear this, but the Islanders are a good team. They are. They have a good
talent.
Not
just that, but a team that has chemistry. It's the same team from last year.
And they're well coached. They have maybe the best coach in the league. I'm sorry. They do.
You can't wear a mask, though.
You can't. Squirtle, I saw your tweet.
Squirtle wasn't wearing a mask. They're going to go back, review this game. We get the win. That's all I'm saying.
It's truly unbelievable, man. So the Islanders team is just a better, more cohesive team that's just put together. Like they had 10 days of camp or what, same the Rangers had, but they've played together deeper and longer over time. And they had the Rangers number from the moment the game started. The Rangers, as you saw, did the classic Ranger thing of letting two goals in super early within the first 5 minutes. And Keandre Miller and other players just looked scared. They did. They all looked rusty and tight, like right away. Whereas the Islander team came out buzzing and flying. And that just shows the chemistry. I'm not panicking yet at all. If this is the case in 2 weeks from now, Greg, where every single game is a shellacking like this, or the Rangers generate no offense when they're supposed to be an offensive-based team, yeah, we could talk about panic then. But right now, no way. I kind of smiled through the first half of the game, like laughing, like, yeah, of course this is how it would be, right? Like after all this time, after the 10 months, this is how it would be. Just an absolute getting the doors blown off. And that's what happened. It's fine. I'm not panicking yet. There are things to be negative about, a ton, and we're going to talk about them. But it's just, this legitimately was an exhibition game. It almost means nothing, despite the 2 points it actually means.
Okay. I'm happy you said all that.
Okay.
I respect you.
Thank you.
This is a safe place.
Safe zone.
But I don't want people getting angry at us by saying we're negative all the time. So I'm not going to say the word negative. I want to frame this some other way, Ryan.
Rethinking.
Instead of us being negative about the Rangers, I want us to get our jokes off.
Okay.
So let's get our jokes off. Namely, Jack Johnson. Couldn't have gone any better. Jesus Christ.
Dude, I got a couple tweets that were like, I didn't know Jack Johnson was this bad. Was he always
this bad? We tried to tell you. Everybody came on this podcast.
Where do you think
Jesse
we were?
Marshall.
Where do you
Jesse
think we
Marshall,
were?
God bless his soul. We had him on twice in a one-week span. He is one of the smartest, most talented writers on the Pittsburgh Penguins beat.
And part of the Athletic.
He sat on this podcast as a Penguins reporter and said, guys, I don't know what to tell you. Jack Johnson is bad. Dom Lou. He's been on this podcast before.
By the way.
Sure. I respect you.
Thank you.
And I honor that.
Thank you.
He's been on this podcast before. He put out the numbers today saying, statistically speaking, Jack Johnson is the worst defender in the National Hockey League.
No one has.
Shayna Goldman.
God
loves Shayna Goldman.
Yes.
Who loves Shayna Goldman more than us?
Nobody.
I dare you find
her boyfriend, probably.
Probably. fair.
Yes.
Touche.
Yes.
But she's been on this podcast plenty. She wrote thousands of words on Jack Johnson about how not only is he bad, but could the Rangers change how bad he is? And the conclusion was, probably not.
And in the first...
We weren't joking!
And you know what sucks about this? I like Brandon Smith a lot. I really do. And to see him scratched for Jack Johnson, who in the first 3 minutes of the game took a penalty and then, like, gave the puck up multiple times to the Islanders and, like, just, like, missed defensive assignments where Mika Zibanejad was doubling back. Like, there was a I couldn't find, like, a good thing he did. It was just... To get the joke, like, to have the jokes pay off so early was almost worth it, right? Like, to have them, like, wow, it's the first thing that happened is Jack Johnson just sucks ass. This is great. Oh, my God.
I love it.
Imagine you're out there listening right now. You're listening to Greg and I, and you're like, okay, I want to be angry about the Ranger-Islander game, and I've waited a long time for this, so I'm going to listen to Greg and Ryan for some absolute reason I can't understand. And you're going to your job right now. But instead of you going to your job, you'd go to your job to suck at it. And when you got to your job, they'd hand you $1 million. That's what Jack Johnson is doing. It's so bad.
Friend of the show, Tom Ertz, had a just phenomenal point immediately after the first Johnson fiasco. And there were a handful. Tom said, I'm sure I'm paraphrasing, but I think I'm close. Mm-hmm. He said, had the Rangers given Johnson a PTO, and Johnson stuck with the team after the PTO, and the Rangers signed him for $700,000 league minimum, Rangers Twitter still would have been pissed off, and rightfully so. But the thing that doubles down on the Ranger fan anger, and our anger, quite frankly, is that Johnson was a first-day free agent signing. They signed him for above the vet minimum.
Day one.
They signed him at a price point that the Rangers can't bury on the taxi squad. They would still be paying part of his contract if he was not on the team, no matter what. And they passed on just not even good options, because you've heard us say that before. The example we've used on this podcast more times than I care to remember is just John Merrill. John Merrill, it's not that John Merrill is a good player. It's that he's just not actively bad. Jack Johnson is actively bad. And I got to say, while as a fan, that's going to make watching the Rangers really difficult, we are going to have fun getting off the Jack Johnson jokes.
Oh, yeah.
I hate to tell you guys. The guys who yell at us being like, oh, this team drafted Alexi Lafreniere and every word out of your mouth
dude,
is Jack Johnson.
Dude, Lafreniere is awesome. Yeah, what do you want me to say?
It's funny. It's funny.
What do you want me to say? He's awesome. Oh, God.
I hate him. You know what? I don't hate him. Hate's a strong word. I saved that word for Philadelphia-based sports figures and Chase Utley. I don't hate Jack Johnson.
Yeah, those are the same thing, by the way.
No, Chase Utley, like, transcends, right?
Yeah, for you, definitely. But with Lafreniere, there's not so much, like, I can't really break down his game tonight.
We've had people on this podcast that are smart and can say smart things about Lafreniere.
Absolutely.
We can sit here and just googly eye about
I'll say some middle road things about Kako. People were talking about his time on ice. He doesn't play the penalty kill. The Rangers were on the penalty kill a million hours tonight. He had some...
I have a point of contention tonight, Ryan.
Go for it.
I get that Sam Rosen is a beloved figure.
Absolutely.
And I love Sam Rosen.
Excuse me, that's Kako. Everybody does.
Here's the thing. Sam, at some point in the third period, I know we said we weren't going to talk about the third period, but he and Joe are talking with about 9 minutes left in the game, and Sam offhandedly says, you know, Joe, I haven't seen much of Keandre Miller this period. And I'm just sitting on my couch, and I'm just like, yeah, because Tony DeAngelo took a 4-minute penalty. So you're not going to see Keandre Miller much in this period.
No.
Like, he doesn't play the penalty kill.
No.
The Rangers were killing penalties the entire game.
I think that was Sam, he did that multiple times. And, like, people on Twitter don't understand. Like, Kako and Lafreniere and Miller don't play the penalty kill. And the Rangers were on the penalty kill, what, 7 times tonight?
Too many.
Dude, the lines they were running out in the third period was Howden, Kreider, Kako. That's where we were at. Like,
yeah, because Howden and Kako hadn't played all game, and they needed to get some run.
Right, exactly. That's it. Guys, like, I know David Quinn was doing the put everything in a blender kind of act all night, but he was just trying to find anything that worked, get a spark out of anything. I can't blame him. And all you people that tweet me and say, can we fire David Quinn? It's been one game. I like David Quinn, really. It's a free ride for him this year. He has to figure it out. If it's this all season, yeah, we can fire his ass. I promise. But it won't be this all season. It's almost statistically impossible. It really is.
Well, you know what's funny about that? I feel like some people, and it doesn't matter what we say on this podcast, people will get whatever they want to get out of us at the end of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what we're trying to say, what we're trying to do. People draw their conclusions, and that's the world we live in, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But I feel like people think we carry David Quinn's water more than we actually do.
No, we're critical of David.
We've been pretty critical of him.
But he's
like, maybe it could possibly be because I just hated Alain Vigneault so much. So the fact that I don't have like active vitriol for David Quinn, people think that's me liking him. We've questioned his handling of Elias Anderson. We've questioned his deployment of Kaapo Kakko.
We
don't talk about Brett Howden and the Man Rocket on this podcast anymore because we've gotten tired of questioning how David Quinn handles.
Allegedly.
Like
legally speaking.
We questioned a ton. We've questioned whether he should use right-handed defensemen on the left-hand side, why the Rangers don't do that. We've questioned his usage of Alexander Georgiev. You name it, we've questioned it. I feel like we're pretty critical. And while we questioned all of that, you asked me today, no, I don't think he should be fired. Mostly because, quite honestly, short of like Barry Trotz and two other coaches in the NHL.
Yeah, Gallant, who's going to teach.
I got to tell you, man, there aren't that many great coaches out there.
No, Gallant's going to coach Seattle. Like, and he's the only person right now, if you're like, who would you replace him with? It would be Gallant. That's it.
Yeah, but would you even, like, that's the thing. Honestly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I like Quinn.
Gerard Gallant's a better coach, but is a better coach going to make a big difference on this team? I don't know. This team's super young.
No, bro.
At some point, there's only so much coaching you can do with children, right? They have to figure it out themselves. And again, guys, once again, this is essentially a preseason game. They got their doors blown off by a veteran team who has tons of playoff experience and, again, is being coached by arguably the best coach the NHL has to offer. It was more likely the Rangers were going to get their doors blown off tonight than the Islanders were.
Oh, yeah. I think it's really important for people to realize this. The Islanders went to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're a good team. They're well coached. They're well suited. They have top-end talent. Barzal is a legit top 20 player in the NHL. That might be even too low, for real. He's good. And you're going to see him 6-7 more times. It's coming. Well,
we crack jokes about Lou Lamoriello all the time because that guy just doesn't know how to manage a salary cap.
No.
But if you took away these players' salaries and just said, is this a good team or not? It's a solid team top to bottom. There isn't an obvious – you can make fun of their fourth line, whether Matt Martin should be in the NHL, whether Ross Johnston does anything. Sure. But again, Barry Trotz is smart enough to know that his fourth line is crap, so he doesn't put it in dangerous situations.
Yep.
He – understands what his top nine is, so he leans on it. And that top nine, Barzal is a star. But the rest of that top line is better than average. It's really good. Beauvillier is super solid.
Brockner,
Jordan Eberle as your fifth option, super solid. J.G. Pageot is making too much money, but he's their third center. Like, that's a ridiculously good third center. I don't know. Which, you know what? This transitions perfectly. 30 NHL GMs
should
be fucking
embarrassed. Hold on. Let's take a quick break.
Oh, we need a prosper break?
I got to do a break, and then we can embarrass some GMs. All Here we go.
Please.
Transition.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We're back. Hit me.
30 NHL GM should be fucking embarrassed tonight.
Yeah, that's true. Dude, do you see how dominant that guy is? I don't want to like sit here and blow the island.
Ryan, he's really fucking good. Like, yeah. I don't know what else you want. What else would you want in a hockey player? He's under the age of 25. His best days are somehow still ahead of him. Of course, I don't know if people are figuring this out yet. We're talking about Matt Barzal. I understand. Barzal can go out there and say all he wants about how he never wanted to leave Long Island, how he always saw his future with the
and
Islanders.
$7 million.
Well, just make it. That's Ryan. That's what I'm saying. A player can say that as much as he wants. He only means it because no one made it a difficult decision, right? I love living in Troy, New York. Absolutely love it. I can't see myself leaving the Capital Region anytime soon. I honestly think this is where I will somehow convince a woman to marry me. I don't know how it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough trial.
But this is like, if I were to raise a family, this is where I want to do it. This is the perfect area for me. But you know what, Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
If someone comes along and offering me a six-figure contract in fucking Tulsa, Oklahoma, I'm moving to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Like, someone, you can make it difficult. I have every intention in the world to stay right here. But someone could make that decision very difficult for me. An NHL GM should have made Matt Barzal's life difficult. And one better, Ryan, should have made the Islanders' life difficult. The Islanders signed it for $7 million because the entire NHL said good luck signing it.
Stupid, bro.
It's stupid. This is one game. Again, it's one game. Barzal didn't have a camp. The Rangers didn't have a camp.
Mika Zibanejad didn't have a camp, and he was the best player for the Rangers all night long.
The difference between Barzal not having a camp and the Rangers not having a camp is Barzal's bare minimum is so good. Every team should have been on his door and offered him at least $9 million. They should have understood that the Islanders had no cap space. They should have understood that the Islanders have too many commitments long-term for them to even move those deals. They should have understood that the Islanders had difficult decisions to make, and not a single person, Ryan, made the Islanders make a difficult decision. And instead, Matt Barzal, God bless him. I get it. And Sam said it during the broadcast, too. I get that $21 million over 3 years is a lot of money. I totally understand that. But I also understand that I'm watching professional sports. And I understand that $7 million over the next 3 years for a player who's probably top 15, top 20 player in the league is illegal, quite frankly. That yes. Even in the salary cap world, Matt Barzal should not be making that low of money.
It's ridiculous.
If I were an opposing GM, including Jeff Gorton, by the way, who we have been quite generous of in our time, as he's been Ranger General Manager, be embarrassed that you didn't make a better effort to try and sign Matt Barzal. Be embarrassed. You should feel shame. You should. I have no joke to get off about Matt Barzal. I wish I could. I am sickened that the NHL allowed the New York Islanders to keep Matt Barzal for cheap. It's a joke.
Let's get back to just finish up here in the last 10 minutes. Just get back to the sort of the Ranger negatives. I agree with you on everything you said there. It's a rant we've done a lot on this podcast, and it is a joke. He's an awesome player.
Right.
There are some players I do want to touch on. I thought Panarin was fine tonight. He looked like his normal self, but couldn't get the creative juices flowing. I thought Ryan Strome was invisible, but totally, absolutely invisible. I didn't know what he was doing or where he was at any point. Like, you kind of noticed when players were out there. Like, I noticed when Howden was out there trying to do something, or, you know, Kako, I thought was middle of the road and had some missed puck opportunities, but looked a little bit better on defense this year. But Strome, like, where the hell was he? I have no idea. And to just drive it even home even further, like, Hedl looked like a legit 2C, and maybe that pushes this up sooner. Who knows? But Ryan Strome is going to have a lot to prove here over the next couple weeks, because as Rick said on our podcast earlier this week, Strome didn't have a good camp, and neither did Panarin. Panarin looks like he turned it on, but I'm not sure Strome did. And I guess that leads us right into the person who joined Strome on our podcast was Tony DeAngelo. Like, dude, you can't throw a goddamn hissy fit like that on the ice. I don't know if it was slamming the door in the penalty box. I don't know if it was him saying something on the ice. I have no idea why
it was a combination of the two.
I bet it was. I have no idea, man. And then he actually got benched after that. I think that was more the case, that Quinn was like, hey, you can't do that shit. You can't. Yeah. And Tony, like, he played like a winger tonight. He got destroyed by Barzal. We already talked about how good he was. Like, I'm not going to blame Tony for getting beat by one of the best players in the league. I'm not. I'm just not. And it was a goal that Igor should have stopped, and Igor really settled down. But Tony looked...
We're going to finish this Tony rant, but
yeah,
call a spade a spade. Igor had an awful first period.
Oh, truly awful. Yeah, you could. Yeah, the whole Rangers, but Igor's soft goals for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. No doubt about it. But Tony, in general, though, looked like a winger the whole night.
Honestly, Ryan, everyone on Twitter will jump at the Barzal undressing because that's exactly what it was.
It's not his fault.
Barzal could have done that. I mean, Barzal undressed Adam Fox. And again, I have nothing but great things to say about Adam Fox's game tonight.
I'll get my jokes off about Tony. It's not here.
Honestly, the shift that sickened me the most with Tony was before the Barzal goal. There was a shift where Quinn tried playing Trouba and Tony on the ice at the exact same time, and it looked like Tony wasn't wearing skates. He was flailing. He left two different men wide open for shots that Shesterkin luckily either made a save on or it just missed the net. He looked like a lost puppy. It was hard to watch because we know, right? Tony talks. Shocking. I'm not breaking news by saying that. Tony D'Angelo can go up to every reporter and say he's pissed off that everyone makes fun of his defensive game, that he's going to prove people wrong this year, that he's going to make people eat their words. I got fucking news for you. If we wanted to crack Tony jokes all night on Twitter about his defending, we could have done it and we would have been right. He was abysmal defensively. You take out the undressing by Barzal. If you want to forgive that because it's Matt Barzal, I'm fine with that. Barzal makes everyone look like a child. But Tony D'Angelo was actively horrendous in his own zone. And it doesn't help that he's playing with Jack Johnson, who himself was disrespectful to traffic cones.
Without looking,
to call Jack Johnson
without bad. Looking, how many shifts did Jack Johnson take tonight in Time on Ice? Without looking.
I'm going to say 21 minutes tonight.
17 minutes. Top of the list is Jacob Trouba at 19. Jacob Trouba, Adam Fox, Jack Johnson.
Trouba gets power play and penalty kill time.
Right, of course. Yes. But Jack Johnson, number three on the Rangers, game one. 17 minutes and 43 seconds.
But to be fair, Ryan, how much of that? Give me his PK time. Was it over 5 minutes tonight?
I don't have the PK time in front of me. I'll try and look for it real quick.
I got you. This is bad podcast. You go on a rant while I look this up.
Okay, sure. I want to go back to Keandre Miller real quick because the first period, like one of the quotes that Trouba had about Keandre was, hey, this guy looks unflappable. He seems like nothing bothered him. And
nice flap tonight, huh?
I have news. The moment bothered him. It was very clear. There was a 2-on-1 where he looked like Medusa looked him directly in the eyes. He became a statue.
He looked like you know what he looked like? He looked like a 20-year-old.
Yeah, that's what he looked like. Who hasn't played since March and who's never played a pro game. So hit me with the Jack Johnson numbers.
7 minutes and 10 seconds on the penalty kill tonight.
Yeah, okay.
That's how you get to... That's how you get to 20 minutes and 46 seconds total for Jack Johnson. He played the most penalty kill minutes of any New York Ranger tonight. Second was Ryan Lindgren. The forward with the most penalty kill minutes tonight, Brett Howden, 627.
This is the thing. So like when you come at me and be like, hey, Kako didn't have a lot of ice time tonight. Well, dude, the game score doesn't lend itself to have him a lot of ice time. It's not like the Rangers were on the power play the whole fucking game. They weren't. They were getting destroyed. Yeah.
Jack Johnson led the Rangers in penalty kill minutes with 7 minutes, and he committed the first penalty of the game. So, like, there was penalty kill time where Jack Johnson was ineligible to play.
Yeah. Brutal, man.
I don't know what else. Brendan Lemieux played 5 minutes tonight because he doesn't play power play minutes or penalty kill minutes. We know David Quinn likes Brendan Lemieux. We know Brendan Lemieux is not in David Quinn's doghouse and that he would absolutely love to get more ice time for Brendan Lemieux. 5 minutes. So it's – I throw out any – oh, Kako didn't play enough tonight. Bro, the Rangers got their doors blasted and they kept committing penalties. Nobody played a lot. Artemi Panarin played 17 minutes tonight.
That's like nothing.
That's insanely low for Artemi Panarin because the Rangers were on the penalty kill the entire goddamn game.
Yep. It's the game script, man. It's the way it goes. So if you're out here worried about time on ice and that's what your point is tonight, that like that's your big drive home point, it's wrong. I'm sorry. the real point is they look terrible. The system looks terrible. The defense looks terrible.
Well,
and they look undisciplined.
You know, I don't want to. Ryan, I'll check you on that. I don't know about the system. Yeah, I don't know. The Rangers looked like a team that wasn't ready for the regular season. If you want to be critical of the coaching staff for that, I say go for it. I think that's a totally fair point to make. This team looked unprepared to play hockey tonight.
You know what? I'll agree with you. I can't say anything about the system yet because it's been one game. They're not prepared.
Yeah,
it's just like Futurama eyes. You know, like when Fry does the squint thing? Like, I'm not sure this is correct. That was the whole game.
Yeah. It's tough, dude. It's really tough to draw any conclusions from this one game and try to say anything about the next 55 beyond the fact that the New York Rangers just sucked tonight. We're not breaking news. You guys watch the game. We watch it. We hashtag watch the game.
Hashtag watch.
We charts, eye test, whatever you want to use. They're all going to say the Rangers played like butt because they did.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and say that this is a sign of things to come for the New York Rangers. I don't know. It could be. I hope it's not.
Oh boy.
It's very, very possible that this is a one game outlier. It's the first game of a season where the Rangers haven't played a truly competitive hockey game in months. They didn't play a single preseason game. While Lafreniere may go full bore in training camp, the veterans don't. So it's if we see this again, I won't be surprised if we see this again on Saturday. I won't be surprised if we see this again for another week. The problem with a season like this, Ryan, is you don't have time to play like this if you want to be serious.
No, all the games are worth 4 points.
Okay, Joe Micheletti. Way to go. You don't have time to play yourself into shape in a 56-game season. You don't. We saw the same thing with baseball, right?
Yep.
The baseball teams that were successful this year in a 60-game season were the teams that started hot. If you started hot, you got enough of a lead where you can then work your way into shape and find some consistency. If it takes the Rangers a week to get into shape, that's about 4 games. That's 4 out of 56. That's a hole at that point. This is a sprint, not a marathon. If you want to be critical of the Rangers tonight, you have to be critical about their preparation. And at some point, that falls on the coaching staff. But I'm not going to sit here and say that this was the system's fault. To be fair, even the guys that are returning this year are playing in a new system. This is the truly first game they have an opportunity to try and learn that system in real time. That plays into effect to what the Rangers did tonight as well. But is this system right for the Rangers? We don't know. We won't know until we get more of a case study shown before us. The only problem is it clearly didn't work tonight. The team didn't look ready tonight. Look, I'm sorry. I don't want to be the negative. I know Ryan doesn't want to be the negative Nancy either.
Definitely not.
We have a lot of fun when this team is fun. We even have a lot of fun when this team is horrible, but it's a lot easier to be fun when you're bad when you're not also super young.
Dude,
I
don't care what they do as long as they score goals. I really don't care. They could lose every game 6-2, 6-3. You just can't, they looked terrible. There was nothing good. Nothing. Really. We did some positives, but they were very small. And I just need this team to compete. And they don't look ready to play. I'm excited to see how they respond on Saturday, that's for sure, because they took the third period off. And I don't blame them, to be honest with you.
To be fair, the Islanders did too. It's not like the Islanders kept pressing. Barzal did a couple things in the third because he's Matt Barzal, but
yeah, it's
not like the New York Islanders were still blowing the doors off the Rangers. To be fair, though, this is how the Islanders play. They get the lead, and then they don't let you back into the game.
Oh, yeah, they vice grip you.
Sam and Joe were saying how the Rangers looked better in the second period. They didn't. The Islanders just decided that they weren't going to press the offense anymore, which means time of possession was going to be in the Rangers' favor.
They want to win games like that anyway. It doesn't make sense.
This game played perfectly in the Islanders' hand. The Islanders want to get a multi-goal lead in the first period, and then they don't want to let you score a goal the rest of the game.
Yeah, they're an incredible defensive team.
Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. It's Barry Trotz is good, man. He looks like Squirtle. He doesn't know how to wear a mask.
They play 2013 Ranger hockey style. That's what they do. It's 2013 Ranger hockey.
He has a 61% win percentage with the New York Islanders. And the New York Islanders aren't one of the 5 best teams in the NHL. That's a super impressive number for Barry Trotz to have. Because, again, they're not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination. They're not a top 5 team either. But a 61% win percentage with Barry Trotz behind the bench, that dude knows how to fucking coach.
That's true. All right, boys. We're out of here.
ladies too, show some respect.
Yep. I meant to talk to you, and then I said boys, and I was like, I don't know why I said that.
Well, I have multiple personalities, so that's totally fair.
That's true. I'm happy everyone got to listen to us. It was a cool night.
Oh, shit. The Jets hired Robert Saleh?
Is that good?
Yeah, the Niners defensive coordinator.
You're a Niners guy, so you would know more than I would.
That's really good, man. I thought he was guaranteed to be in Detroit.
All right, well, good for him. Hey, we'll be back.
The Jets did something smart. Wow.
Wow. Wow. Turning everything around. We'll be back next week. We have a special guest we'll be announcing, I'm assuming, later in the week once we confirm, and we'll go from there. So we love you guys. Happy the Rangers are back. Hopefully they don't get their doors blown off again on Saturday. Bye.